Somebody in our family sent us, our family, a Christmas card. I'm not really one for pictures of Jesus, paintings of Jesus. What you can know about every one of them is that that's not what Jesus looked like. So they all have that in common. It's amazing the scripture gives us not even a hint of a description of what Jesus looked like. Would you write a story about somebody? Could you imagine knowing about Abraham Lincoln without knowing that he was taller than nearly everybody around him and he had that distinctive beard and that chiseled face and wore that hat and styled clothing of his era? In the image of the man is tantamount to knowing the man, yet we don't have one clue, not even a hint of anything about what Jesus looked like. That's no accident. So pictures of Jesus, you got to be careful, you know. But this one got to me. It's on one of your Christmas cards. And you sent it to us. And you sent it with love. The miracle of Christmas, it says on the inside. Jesus is here. It's too far away from you to see. As a little boy, his hands are up in the air. And there's a man's hands bending over and holding him. The miracle of Christmas is that the infant Jesus learned to walk among us. That the infant Jesus learned to walk among us so that we might learn to walk with God. Now, we know full well there's nothing in Scripture about the church celebrating the birth of Christ. There's no remembrances of Mary. There's no ceremonies that went back to the birth. There's no pilgrimages to Bethlehem. It was just a little town up the street. They didn't pay any attention to Bethlehem. But there was a time in the church of Christ, in his body, there was a day and a place where you, as a brother or a sister, could have walked up to Mary and asked her a question. Mary's our sister. She was in her son for salvation like the rest of us. And she was a fixture, a part of the Jerusalem congregation. And you could have gone back and asked her. You could have walked over and said, would you have asked her? Ah, come on, you got to have asked her. What was it like? Did you see the star or was it just seen by others? What did the Magi say? Tell me about it. Were you scared? When were you? Ah, you had to ask her. Luke chapter 2. God sent the creator of the universe sent his co-creator, the oneness of him, his very son, to this earth, not with power and domination. God didn't come to dominate the world. Not with splendor and searchlights. God didn't come to startle and to awe the world. Not with an army. God didn't come to conquer the world. But he sent his son as a tiny little brand new baby. That says a lot about who God is. That says a lot about who God is. Luke chapter 2 verse 8. In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. My children and I have been having fun with the King James. We get to that and we all stop and we look at each other and say, they were sore afraid. Try to imagine what sore afraid is. I guess it's a little like being terribly frightened. Terribly frightened. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, what angels often say, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. We read this last week in Isaiah, remember? Yeah. This will be a sign for you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." That's our lesson today. Peace and joy. You see, that's the order I'd put them in, except the Bible often puts them in the other order. I think if you find peace, you find joy. But the Bible puts it the other way, including Galatians chapter 5, 22, with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And I think the order in Galatians is not accidental. They came rejoicing. We bring you good news of great joy. Give glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men. We have with Christ two things that are so difficult to hang on to. And what we have in the Scripture is the guarantee that they are ours to have and to claim and to walk in. Joy. Joy. Legitimate, honest to goodness, deep in your gut. It's not going anywhere. Joy and peace. Wouldn't you love to have peace? A lot of levels. Wouldn't it be nice to have peace? Real peace. Unshakable peace. Look at Matthew chapter 2. You see, so the shepherds came. The shepherds had hurried right after the angels left. They hurried and found the Christ child. And they glorified and praised God. And then in Matthew chapter 2, we started this last week reading about the Magi, the wise men who came, who were looking for Christ. And down in verse 9, after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. You see, that's one kind of peace. There's one kind of peace that Christ gives you. The peace between people, the peace in relationships, the settling of conflicts or the setting aside of conflicts. Herod had a conflict involved. These men found Christ and their lives went by another way. That's a good metaphor. That's a beautiful metaphor for you. That when you find Christ, you don't go home the same way anymore. They went home again, but they didn't go home the same way they came. They went home by another way. So the first two real contacts, we have Simeon in the temple. But the first two notable outside contacts about who the Christ is done by a group of shepherds and by a gathering of foreigners, foreign thinking men, probably from Persia, maybe from India, real foreigners who didn't know the region. Real quickly, verse 9, when the star is now visible between Jerusalem and Bethlehem and comes and stands over the house where the child is, now over a year old, that's not a supernova. That's not a a collection of planets. There's all these theories bouncing around, if you want to look for them, about what the star was. The star was a miracle from God. The star was a pronouncement in the heavens that if you weren't paying attention, you'd miss. But if you were looking for God, if you were looking for Him to do something, you could find it and see it and know it. And even though there were thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands upon tens of thousands of people, maybe hundreds of thousands living or visiting Jerusalem, only these men who were looking for it found the star. And when they saw that they could find the Son of God, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Rejoicing exceedingly with great joy. Except that I think about these magi as being very dignified, you know, thoughtful men or wealthy men. They had to be somewhat wealthy, but I think of them as quiet and dignified. Except for that, the sentence sounds like they're skipping across a desert, throwing their arms in the air. Woohoo! Yeah, we found. I don't think magi skipped across the desert and threw their arms in the air. It doesn't fit any of my images. I lose it. But they're excited. They're thrilled. They are so joyous. They are exceedingly joyous. They are exceedingly joyous with great joy. That's a stack of joy. This is significant. And what the angels did in terrifying the poor shepherds. Can you imagine that? Sitting on the hillside quietly with your sheep, another boring night, watching another bunch of dumb sheep. Sheep are really dumb, right? You know sheep are dumb. So you know, you got to come up with something to do. I don't know. They probably came up with toss games with stones and stories that they read or made another cup of coffee if they had it. They didn't have coffee. What would they have made? Sitting around in a dark, quiet night with a couple of sheep out in the area bleeding, and all of a sudden, boom! Exactly. Exactly. Except when the startling happened, there's an angel standing in front of them, and they are terrified. It's these shepherds that are told about the coming of the Son of God. If you were on the committee for the announcement of the Savior of the world, the King of all times, the King whose kingdom will never end, the Son of the living God, all glory, all authority, contact with all power, all knowledge, He's coming to this earth, where would you go to announce it? I mean, would you pick maybe the most powerful nation on earth and go to the leader of that nation? Literally, you could go today and take your angels. How about we get about 100,000 angels and center them over Washington and have a platoon of big ones go down into the White House and tell President Obama the Son of God is coming. Scare him to his toes. We'd have pronouncements on every airway all across the country, around the world. You'd get up. You'd light up the skies. There'd be no sunset for a day or two. How about a real big pronouncement? Not only does he send his very son into this world and hand them to a teenage girl and says, here, you take after him. You watch after him for a while. Joseph really did. I know it's just a picture. I know it's a cute picture. But Joseph really did hold that little boy's hands and helped him walk. Not only did God do that, but he makes this wonderful pronouncement. There is a multitude of angels. There is one very, very, very powerful one. That's all they needed. The shepherds are flat on the ground, terrified to their toes. It's to the shepherds they make the pronouncement. That would be like today. I can't find a better analogy. That would be like today, going to a truck stop in Kansas, like on a Thursday night, and telling all the people in the truck stop that the Son of God is coming. Okay? Not a town within miles. Everybody in the truck stop is absolutely convinced that an angel just stood in the midst of them and told them that the Son of God is coming. They stepped outside. There are thousands of angels hovering in the sky giving God glory. Their lives are changed. And they try to tell somebody? You going to believe them? Me neither. That's what this is like. They sent the host of angels to a bunch of shepherds on a hillside. Shepherds weren't involved in the community. They stayed on the hills. They were even unpopular within the religious groups because they didn't come to church when they were supposed to. Huh. Out there with their sheep. I wonder if the priest went out and rebuked him. The guy's supposed to be at church, you know. No, God has something different for us to understand. God has something significantly different for us to understand. God has something really significantly different for us to understand. A great part of it is love. A great part of it is what we talked about last week, that he had to bring his Son into our fleshness. He had to have himself connected with us so that a real sacrifice could be made, so that a real example could be walked, so that a real connection could be there. I know that's all going on, but there's more than that. There's more than that. Because whenever we talk about these things, whenever we read about these things, we run into this peace and joy. Peace is coming. Peace is coming. Be joyous. Peace is coming. Go back to Isaiah, please. Where we were last week, Isaiah 9. I kind of skimmed over the first part of Isaiah 9 because of this lesson. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9 and pay attention to the way that this brings us to the child being born, the son being given that we emphasized last week. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who is in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious. By way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Galilees, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They shall be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the soil. You shall break the yoke of the burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor as at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning. All the needs, all the armaments, all the uniforms of the soldiers, just burn them. You don't need them anymore. We're not going to have wars anymore. We're going to know peace. Listen, fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. In case you missed it, there will be no end, verse 7. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the host, the Lord of hosts, will accomplish this. Real peace. This gives reasoning behind the joy, by the way. This says, you know the darkness? Yeah, I've been in that darkness. You know the anguish? You know the brokenness? You know the pain in your heart? You know the tumult and the conflict? Real war and just warring hearts? You know that stuff? Yes, I know that stuff. It's awful. We're doing away with that. We found a solution to that. We're going to illuminate the darkness. We're going to repair the hearts. We're going to take the burden off your shoulders. He gives reasons for the joy, and then he gives guarantees for the peace. Like I said, the Bible often puts them the other way around. I'd think you'd put the peace first and then you'd have the joy, but the Bible usually lists the joy first and then the peace. And so at that point I say, yes, sir, I got a lot to learn. You see, he gives you explanation of the joy and then a promise, a guarantee of the peace. For you see, this one coming is the Prince of Peace. He is peace in his purpose. His kingdom is a kingdom of peace. And oh, by the way, the peace of that kingdom will never stop increasing. Isn't that interesting? It's not that the peace will never stop, but the peace won't ever stop increasing. You've got tumult in your life. You've got hurt and conflict that either you've pushed away or not dealing with. It's in one of three basic places. It's either with yourself. I got that one all the time. Peace with myself. Or it's with those around me. With others, are those who are only temporarily around me, like the guy who can't drive and cut you off in traffic. Flash your lights at him and let him know. Take that license number down. Set both hands are on the wheel. It's either with yourself, a lack of peace, or it's with others, or the most important one, your lack of peace is with God himself. Because really, that's the big one Jesus conquers right away. That we can have peace with God. There's another type of peace. And that's peace with life. Peace with everything. Not that you understand everything. But that the fact that there is a war in Afghanistan. The fact that there is cancer. The fact that we don't have answers to this, or we don't know about that. Finding peace with those thoughts is also given to you in Christ. Peace, real peace. Jesus says in his kingdom, peace will increase, and then it'll increase, and then it'll increase, and then it'll increase. Real, fundamental, deep in your gut, peace. Awesome peace. The joy comes first, and then the peace. Let's go to where Scott read for us. I've only heard the song a couple of times this year, but when it first came out about 15 years ago, I absolutely fell in love with it. I absolutely fell in love with the song. Mary, did you know? Mary was a real woman, a girl. Joseph was a real young man, confused. Boy, was he confused. That man was confused. He needed Gabriel to come to him and tell him, hang on, straighten up, keep going. She's going to give child, don't worry about it, stay with her. He needed that. I'd need that about 10 times, I think. They were real. And so should your peace be real. And so should your faith be real. And so should your joy be real. Be real. We're not talking about pie in the sky ideas. We're talking about dealing with the reality of life. The reality of what God has given to us. He gave us his son as a child. He wants us to come to that child in faith. For real joy doesn't come from the side of this, especially this holiday, that's the get stuff. That's joyous, all right. It's a lot of fun to look under the tree, or if you exchange gifts or not with your family, and imagine the hidden part of the gift giving is so tempting, isn't it? Ah, look at those. Look how pretty they look. There's something behind that. And that's enticing. That's part of the fun and part of the joy. It's a whole lot more fun before you've messed up the room with piles of wrapping. But that's flash in the pan happiness. That comes and goes really like a flash in the pan. And so does most happiness. Joy comes by putting your trust in the right things, faith in Christ, faith in God. By following that up with obedience, and then by serving and connecting with Him and with others, getting off of yourself and onto others. Real peace, peace with yourself, peace with others, peace with God. Real joy coming from faith, obeying the God who created you, and serving in His name, connecting and serving others. Look at Jude. Tiny little letter. But it ends with these words. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them from the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by flesh. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of His holy blame, of His glory, blameless. Can you imagine standing before God? That's what peace does to you. With great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. That's the application. That's the Christian application. Hang on, your holy faith. Your prayers in the Holy Spirit. You stand before God and then connecting with others. Have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others. Have mercy with fear. All of that interconnecting stuff. The fact that we don't and aren't supposed to do this alone. It's a one another faith. Get the faith in God straight. Serve others. And then you know the great peace and joy that He has intended for you. That's the application of the Christian peace. That's the application of the Christian joy. That's the application of the Christian walk onto the gift of this child. I didn't spend much time, and I'm still not sure I could define peace in a sentence. The real peace we're talking about. I'm not sure I can define joy in a sentence, the real joy that we're talking about. But I hope that together in lessons to come, we can figure that out. Let's just understand today that child came, Jesus came, for us to have both of those in solid, immovable ways that never end. What a glory. What a joy that is. So take that today. Apply it to your relationships. Apply it to your own heart. Apply it to your own faith. Apply it to your love of others. But if right now there's somebody here who hasn't established the first bit of that peace, the peace between you and God, that peace is found, all this peace's joy is found only in Christ. And in Christ is the place we have salvation. We come into Christ by being baptized into Him. If your faith is ready and your obedience is ready, we offer this time for you to be baptized. If you have that need or any other need we can help you with, please come forward while we stand and sing.